see this morning is that of listening. Perhaps we've been listening as we've worshipped, listening for what the Spirit might be saying to us. Lord, as we gather again this morning, we pray that you would give us ears to listen to what you want to say to us now and throughout our weekend together. We pray, come Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and our minds with the things of our Father God. May we learn to be more like Jesus. Amen. Right. Notice time, just in case, because you never know. Thanks, Jane.
Church meeting without notices, can you? This afternoon, it's free time. So lunch is at 12:30, and then after that, you're free. We have got, Tim's planning a walk, which should be really nice in this weather. There are some board games. What I've asked is that we actually have some tables set up in here, so they bring extra, hopefully there's a couple of tables coming, so we can do some craft in here. In here, because there's more room in here. We can do some board games in here. We have got two small breakout rooms called Willow 1 and Willow 2. So if anybody really wanted to go and just be some quiet for a few minutes and have some quiet time to themselves, they're open. You should be able to get in with your lanyard, and they're open all the time. So they're very small, but they're quite nice and put away. So if you wanted to go and do some reading for yourself.
One has a keyboard in it, doesn't it?
One has a keyboard in it as well, actually. So, you know, if you wanted to go and do a bit of jamming, I suppose, you know, with any of the youngsters. And Ewan has very kindly said if we can get them to open the games cupboard for us, that, you know, if you want to go and kick a ball around or something, there's a nice football pitch out there and you can go and lose some exercise out there and get rid of a bit of the energy or whatever. I think that's it. We've said we've got lunch at 12:30. We've jigged the morning programme a bit around, but we'll tell you where it is. And then this afternoon, after free time, we've got tea at 4:30, and then our next session's at 5, and then this wonderful quiz tonight that Julian's doing, which will be in here. So I'm hoping we're going to have 7 tables by that point.
Hello?
Are you
For the walk? Yeah, I think the meeting point actually can be out at front of main reception or in main reception.
But, yeah, for 2 o'clock?
Yeah, 2 o'clock, yeah. What I would say for the walk, I think really, a little bit different. Session 2 is listening to bless. So that's the L of our bless acronym, listening. What does it mean to listen? Dictionary definitions are such as these. Listen means to attend closely for the purpose of hearing. Or another definition is to pay attention, to heed, to obey. But listening is more than just hearing, isn't it? We could demonstrate that by playing Chinese whispers. We're not going to, but it would show that we often only half hear and often can't easily listen. But instead of Chinese whispers, we're going to try something else. Has anyone heard of mondegreens? Blank silence. Mondegreens. So this word mondegreen apparently started as a phrase from a poem in which someone misheard this line, laid him on the green, as Lady Mondegreen. I don't know, go figure. This was back in the 19th century, I believe. But I feel that we need to try some mondegreens this morning, otherwise known as misheard lyrics, we could call it. And these are from well-known songs, and I thought I would test you out to see if you can work out the song from the lyric as misheard. Now, you know, I think they're quite easy, but then again, I know the answers. So let's start you with this one. First misheard lyric. The ants are my friends. The ants are my friends. Do you want to sing it? Who said that? Sing it then.
The ants are my friends.
There you go. She got it. Sheila got it. The ants are my friends. Right, I am going to I slightly sort of edit what I give to you. Don't want to make it too easy after all. But having done that one, here's another misheard lyric. I left my brains down in. I left my brains down in. Make it harder this time. Are you ready? I'm going to have to tell you, aren't I? I left my brains down in Africa. Not God bless the rains. I bless the rains down in Africa is the correct lyric. Okay, next misheard lyric. From this warm sausage tea. From this warm sausage tea. These are apparently genuinely misheard lyrics. If you don't believe me, go on the internet and look. But not now. That would spoil it. Are you ready then for the answer? Spare him his life from this warm sausage tea. Do 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 do. Easy come, easy go. Spare his life from this monstrosity. Okay. This one is for those who are under 18 in particular. Okay. It's a very easy one. The cattle are lonely. Oh, the cattle are lonely. Which song lyrics does that come from? You're not under 18 over there. I mean, Pat, you might think you are inside your own head, but and Claire as well. I saw you. But yes, it is of course a Wayne Avenger. The cattle are lowing. I have to look at ones here and ask myself whether I can use them. But I mean, this made me laugh, but it's a bit sad, really. It's an easy one. Then I saw her face. Now I'm going to leave her. That is terrible, isn't it? That is so bad, I wasn't sure that I could say that, but your reaction suggests that you enjoyed it. This is one. Now, this is, if you haven't gone on to this, you could do worse than look up Misheard Lyrics Peter Kay on YouTube, because this is where I got this one from. It is funny, there are a few bits that... you know, a bit close to the mark maybe, but it's good. But this one just had to be said. See if you can get the song. This is the misheard lyric. Just let me staple the vicar. See, I said it had to be said. Just let me staple the vicar. Anyone got... Yes! Do you want to sing it, Lorna? Didn't think you would. So we are family. Just let me staple the vicar. Or just let me state for the record. I mean, how can you mishear that? But anyway, the way Peter Kay does, you definitely can. Right, here's another one for under 18s, even under 12s perhaps. This is very easy too. Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. Olive. Olive, the other reindeer. Well, which song is it? Rudolph. Rudolph, Rudolph, sorry, what should it be? What should it be, Victoria? Is it Olive? Is there a reindeer called Olive? I think there should be. Yeah, it is, of course, all of the other reindeer. One more, Mondegreen. I think Sheila will get this one, actually. Maybe someone. So, Sheila, you're banned from answering to start with, okay? So, because I know Sheila is very competitive and she will try and be first, but you've done one. You can answer if no one else gets it, okay? Are you going to starve an old friend? Jane? Are you going to starve an old friend? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. To be honest, if all I had was parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, I'd rather starve, I think. So, strawberries? Have what?
Strawberries. A strawberry fair.
Scarborough fair. But Scarborough fair, it's not a strawberry fair. Anyway, so listening. Listening is important. People want to be heard. How many of us have ever heard our wife, husband, children, fill in the blank, say to us, you're not listening to me? And of course we weren't. When I worked for Nationwide Building Society, we were taught to use a customer contract. And it was kind of common sense, really. It was things like smile at the customer. Greet them by name, if you knew it. Make eye contact. Make eye contact. Ask how you can help. And, of course, listen to the answer. Later in Nationwide, we went further than that with the introduction of what I think, from memory, were called quality circles, where we invited a selection of customers along to a local venue for tea and sandwiches and listened to them. If you were an investor with Nationwide, a saver, your money was paying for that. So I mention it. Out of the profits, you know, but there we go. And we invited them along and we listened to them. What did they like and what did they dislike about the Building Society and specifically my office, which then was in Uxbridge? And what would they like us to offer and maybe do differently? It was the latest thing at the time, I guess, but it made them feel special. And for a few of them, it made them feel that they were now my best friend. They weren't, but that's another story. But if we are to bless as well as we can, then I believe that there are two places, or two things, two sets that we need to listen. We need to listen to God, and we need to listen to the world around us. We need to listen to people. So listening to God first, well, that's really what we generally call prayer, isn't it? Prayer isn't just a matter of kneeling like Christopher Robin in a holy posture and saying, God bless. It's meant to be a two-way thing in which we listen to God and God listens to us. It can be as simple as just becoming aware that we are in God's presence. I think of the young Christian who was trying to learn how to pray and was finding it a bit tough and decided that that they would ask a wise old soul who was mature in the faith how he prayed. What do you say to God when you pray? Asked the young Christian. And the old man said, I don't say anything much. Well, what does God say to you? Asked the young person. Well, he doesn't say anything much, said the old man. And becoming a bit frustrated, the young Christian then said, well, what happens? And the old man answered, well, I just look at him and he looks at me and we tell each other that we love each other. It might just be something like that. It's a good starting point, isn't it? Anyway, is just to look at God. To allow God to look at us, which after all he can do any time he likes, really. And remind each other that we love each other. So that simple way of stilling ourselves can give God the space to speak beyond that and for us to listen. And yet we're often not good listeners, and God does speak at other times in other ways as well. And I believe that's true whether or not you are a person of faith. C.S. Lewis famously puts it like this. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so often that's true, isn't it? It is in the most difficult things in life that God shouts to us. And we, let's be honest, shout back at those times as well. So let's pause for a moment, talk to those around you, maybe talk to those you're not married to or not in a family with, you know, because you might know each other well enough. But how is God speaking and shouting to you or shouting to us right now? How's God speaking? So you might want to mix yourselves up if you want to, just for a few minutes. Hope you found that helpful, just to chat to one or two people around you. I'm not going to invite feedback now or anything like that because you've kind of shared that with each other. So hopefully we've learned from each other. I think it's worth reminding ourselves that even Jesus needed to listen to God. The Son of God needed to listen to his Father. He began, of course, his mission with God in the wilderness, resisting the testing of the devil. He spent a night on a mountainside praying before the next day choosing his disciples. You can find that in Luke chapter 6. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, we find Jesus rising early in the morning while it was still dark and going off to a lonely place where he prays before the busyness of the coming day. And Luke 5 verse 16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to listen and to pray to his Father, how much more do we need to talk with our Heavenly Father? And maybe there's something to be said for doing what Jesus did and starting the day with prayer. At this point, of course, some of you are thinking, that's all very well for you to say, but you haven't seen me first thing in the morning. Well, I have now, haven't I? You know, breakfast. All I can say is that that's what I try to do, sometimes successfully, but not always. I like this quote from the famous British missionary Hudson Taylor, who said, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer, and get first of all into harmony with him." It's a good quote, isn't it? If it works for you, then use it. I think it does for me. So it could be worth finding that quiet space early on and giving it a try. And yet, of course, talking with God and listening to God can go on through the day. So be alert to what God might be saying and calling you to do as you go through the day. God speaks in many different ways. And if we are listening for him, then we may start to notice these things. Now, I love this story I came across about a woman called Beth, who was waiting for the call to her next flight at an airport. And as she sat there, she saw an old man sitting in a wheelchair with long, tangled hair down his back. He looked quite bizarre, and she tried not to stare. And as she sat, she felt God wanted her to do something for the man. And she had a little bit of a battle with God. "Please, Lord, no, don't make me witness to him." And as she negotiated with the Lord, the words came to her loud and clear. "I don't want you to witness to him," she might have thought. "I want you to brush his hair." So with trepidation and reluctance, she went over to him and spoke. He couldn't hear, so she had to shout, "Sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair?" Which point, of course, every eye in the airport looked around. "If you really want to," he said. She didn't, but God did want her to, so she did. And these are her words. "A miraculous thing happened to me as I started brushing that old man's hair. Everyone else seemed to disappear. There was no one alive for those moments except that old man and me. I brushed and brushed and I brushed until every tangle was out. I know this sounds strange, but I've never felt that kind of love for another soul in my entire life. I believe with all my heart that I, for that few minutes, felt a portion of the very love of God. The emotions were so strong and so pure that I knew they had to be God's. His hair was finally as soft and smooth as an infant's. I slipped the brush back into the bag and went around the chair to face him. I got back down on my knees, put my hands on his knees and said, Sir, do you know Jesus? He said, Yes, I do. I've known him since I married my bride. She wouldn't marry me until I got to know the Saviour. He said, You see, the problem is, I haven't seen my bride in months. I've had open heart surgery. She's been too ill to come and see me. I was sitting here thinking to myself, what a mess I must be for my bride. Beth concludes, Only God knows how often he allows us to be part of a divine moment when we're completely unaware of the significance. God had intervened in details only he could have known. It was a God moment, and I'll never forget it. Maybe each day you could spend a few moments praying and asking God, what are you saying to me today? Is there someone you are calling me to bless? And look out for that opportunity through the day. Now, of course, if we are to bless others, it will help if we also listen to them. So from listening to God, we think about listening to others. Here is a little equation about to appear on the screen. Unheard plus unknown equals unloved. I know we can analyze that to the nth degree and you might disagree with bits of it, but to put it another way, if we don't listen to people and we take no time to know them, they will feel unloved by us. So, something to think about there. But here is a second equation. Listen or listen to plus being known equals loved. And I think that's true, basically. If someone listens to us and takes the time to get to know us, we feel loved. Well, how do those two equations apply to Zacchaeus? I said we were going to spend quite a lot of time with Zacchaeus. I never thought that I would be doing a kind of church weekend kind of based upon the story of Zacchaeus. But there you go. That's the way the Spirit has led me, I believe. How do these two things apply to Zacchaeus? Remember, he is a tax collector, notorious for overcharging. Probably he sits at a toll booth and they have to come. People have to come and pay what is demanded. And Zacchaeus has to pass on a certain amount to the Roman rulers. But he builds in a profit margin, an overlarge one. I doubt that he listens to the people's complaints as he makes his demands. But Zacchaeus, I can't afford to eat. Pay up or else. Next. There's been little love or compassion in Zacchaeus. He doesn't hear them. He doesn't know them. He doesn't love them. Not surprisingly, there will have been no love lost by the people for Zacchaeus either. As he tries to get through the crowd to see Jesus, I expect they block him and they jostle him and they ignore him. They ignore his cries, excuse me, let me through. And they simply say, on your bike, mate. Well, they would have done if bikes had been invented yet at that time. They don't want to hear him. They don't want to know him. They don't want to love Zacchaeus. As we know, Zacchaeus, this man of small stature, climbs a tree, desperate to see who Jesus was. And it's quite possible that his toll booth was set up at the entrance to Jericho as Jesus entered the city. I wonder, did Zacchaeus see the blind man begging at the roadside just before this story? You'll find that at the end of Luke 18. Did Zacchaeus hear that man cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? Did he hear then the crowd trying to shut up the blind man? Did he notice Jesus asking for that man to be brought to him and saying to him, what do you want me to do for you? Did Zacchaeus spot the commotion as the man was healed by Jesus? Did he observe that Jesus listened to the man, knew his heart, and loved him? Did Zacchaeus hope against hope that Jesus might do something for him? Well, as Jesus hears the animosity for Zacchaeus in the crowd, he also hears the inner thoughts of Zacchaeus and senses, I think, that his heart is about to change. It's ready to change. Jesus hears him, he knows him, and he loves him. He demonstrates it as he sees him in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And that hospitality will be the subject of our next session after coffee. But let's stick with listening for now. As well as listening to God, how do you also take time to listen to others? How can we really demonstrate that we are listening to others? So, I want to invite you just to talk to one another again in twos, threes, fours, whatever. How can we really show that we are listening to others? We have a couple of flip charts here as well. Be lovely to, if you had a way in which you demonstrate you're listening to others, come and write it on the flip chart if you would. Might just be a word, it might be a sentence, doesn't need to be more than that. How are we going to listen to others? It might be the questions that you ask others and the way that you listen to the answer. It might be something, a way in which you simply demonstrate without speaking that you are listening. How do we do that? Okay. We'll move some of the pens from that side over to this side as well. Okay, I'm going to, still stuff going on there, and in different colours too, that's really good. So as we think about ways that we can listen and show that we're listening, we have, on the flip chart here, we've got, in case you can't see it, we've got eye contact. In fact, we've got a nice little pair of eyes over that side. The same at the top of the other flip chart. We've got give time to people, to give time to listen. Restrain from adding your own issues. That's a good one, isn't it? When they tell you something, oh, I know what you mean. Ah, my aunt so-and-so, this happened to her and it's happened to me as well. Body language is important, isn't it? A sort of open posture, not kind of, you know, legs crossed away from that person. You know, as if we're not interested. Feedback, it could simply sometimes be repeating what the person has said so that they know that you've heard what they've said. That's good sort of counselling technique there. Focusing. Who put focusing down? Did you? What do we mean by focusing? Listening and focusing, just concentrating and keeping looking. I get you. Thank you. You didn't mean looking through a magnifying glass or anything like that. No, I'm okay. That's great. Understanding, and perhaps, you know, that's part of the feedback, isn't it? So you might say, well, as I understand it, this is what you're saying, just to make sure. Ask related questions. Yeah, just sort of open questions. Perhaps get full attention. Don't interrupt. That's very important, really, isn't it? We've got, again, similar things this side. Facial expression, smile, nod, active listening. Right, yeah. So put your smiling face on, maybe, not your miserable one, okay? Repeat back. We've got to get posture. Wait until they're finished, yep. Avoid physical barriers. That actually is good, isn't it? I mean, if I'm meeting with someone, say as a pastor, I think, I wouldn't like to have a table between us, for example. That seems, you know, there have been times, so I'll disrupt rooms to have a better situation. Being there, being genuine and interested in the answers. Yeah, absolutely. So some really good thoughts there. Thank you very much. So, I mean, there are common mistakes, aren't there, that we can make when we are trying to listen to others. One of which is that we're not really listening. We're just paying lip service to that. Sometimes we don't ask a simple question, what can I do for you? What can I do that might help? I came across this, I thought it was a sort of thought-provoking story, of some missionaries who arrived in an Indian village and they offered the people in the village, well, what can we do for you? We can build you a school. And they said, no, we don't want a school. Well, we've got money to build you a medical clinic. No, we don't really want a medical clinic. We could do you a new church building. No, we don't want a new church building. Well, what do you want us to do for you? Asked the missionaries of the villagers. And they replied, we'd like you to get us a postbox. A postbox. See, the thing was that without a postbox in their village, they had no postcode, no postal address. Without a postal address, they had no importance. They just didn't exist as far as the authorities were concerned. A postbox would make them known. A postbox would literally put the village on the map. Sometimes we're quick to jump to conclusions, aren't we? We offer things that people don't really want or need. And we forget to listen to what they might actually need. So sometimes we don't listen in the way that we could. And of course, having asked, what can I do for you? There is a danger that we then don't follow through with a request. They tell us perhaps what we could do for them. Sometimes, of course, it might be something really straightforward. Well, can you just pray for me? I mean, and that we can usually do. But sometimes it might be more difficult than that. And we might think, oh, wish I hadn't asked now. You know, that's too difficult. But if it's too difficult for us, maybe there is someone else that can help us as we listen to others in helping them with their need. I want to say, just before we go to coffee, bit more quickly, that as part of listening to others, we can also listen to places. We can listen to our communities. We won't go into this now, but if you want to look at a biblical example of where that happening, go to Acts chapter 17, when Paul ends up speaking to the Areopagus, and he ends up talking to them about the unknown God. You know, the altar they have to the unknown God, and he proclaims to them who that unknown God is. Paul is listening to the culture around him and using the opportunity to talk to a people that don't know the God of the heavens and the earth. And as we listen to the community, we have these things here. There are things that we might be listening out for, and This, again, I have stolen from someone called Rich Gorman. And he talks about the four P's of listening to a place. And yes, I mean, they're a bit contrived, maybe, but they all begin with P, so it helps us to remember, doesn't it? And suggests that we might listen to the pain of a place. So in our town, for example, what are the challenges and difficulties that exist? To do that, we might talk to people in the know, like our mayor, for example, or other councillors, people who have positions of responsibility in our community. We might do that. He also talks about listening to the pennies. How does the local economy affect the lives of people who live where we are, for good or for bad? I'm not aware of any particular employer, for example, in Buckingham, who in recent times have maybe made lots of people redundant. But of course, you know, we can think around the country, and we read of Royal Mail possibly making 10,000 redundants, don't we, in the coming months. People are under pressure, and we need to listen to those things. And as we do, ask how we can make a difference. We can listen to the power, and I would add influence, in our local community. If we're going to reach out and bless our community, who are those that can help it to happen? Who, we might say, are the people of peace in that community? That's a fifth P, actually, isn't it? People of peace, or a fifth and a sixth, people of peace. But what I mean by that, you go to the Bible, and Jesus sent out his disciples and sent out the 72 to go into the highways and byways, to go to a village and seek a person of peace. If they welcome you into that place, then stay there. If they welcome you, they are people of peace who are receptive to what it is that we maybe can offer of our faith. And then also he talks about listening to parties, or maybe envisaging parties. What can we celebrate and help the people to celebrate about this place? As I think about that, I think one of the things that we as a church are involved in has to be the annual fun day on Lace Hill, doesn't it? I mean, it is a fun day, and many of us have been there supporting that and helping with it. And boy, have we needed ways to celebrate, haven't we, in recent times? As we've come through the pandemic, it's been good to start getting back to things. So those are four P's of place that we might want to think about. So on that note, it is almost exactly 10:45. We have the opportunity for tea and coffee. Please come back by 12:15 when we will be thinking... 11, oh! Please don't come back by 12:15, come back by 11:15. See, it's been such a long time since breakfast, I'm just anticipating lunch. No, I had so little, yeah, 11:15.